Hello, hello, everybody. I'm Lexi Lombard, host of the Lexi Podcast. And if you are a sentimental person or someone that lies to themselves, that hoards things under the lie that you are prepared, you are not wasteful, I'm going to help you because it's a trap. It's a trap that only you're suffering in, and you don't even realize the clean, clear energy that you can have flowing through your home, the lightness you can have, the ease you can have, the freedom you can feel, and you don't even know what you're missing because you think you're holding on to things because you need them. And let me tell you, most of them, so many of them, you don't need. And I also want to emphasize that in this episode, I'm not going to be giving you the trite advice, if you haven't touched it in the last 6 months, toss it. We're not going to say, does it spark joy? We're getting to the root, because I believe owning items is a lot more of an emotional process and experience than a lot of us give credit for. And also, I know this very well because I'm not just saying that I'm someone who holds on to birthday cards from old friends, because I do. I'm talking, I would get upset at my mom for tossing out papers that I had left untouched in the kitchen for weeks. And she's like, "You what? You're upset at that? You hadn't touched them." And I just figured they were trash. I'm like, well, I was going to get to them. Meanwhile, I don't even know what was in them. I'm talking, I wanted to keep all of my clothes to pass down to my future kids. I'm talking every photo booth photo, every business card, every plane ticket, every concert ticket, every music festival wristband. I wanted to keep it because inevitably there was obviously going to be a documentary about my life when I died and they needed evidence. I also wanted to keep every school book, every math binder, science binder, history binder, in case I ever needed to reference something for my higher education. It would be wrong to throw away all this knowledge. Yeah, I definitely would say, like, I'm not sentimental. I'm just not wasteful. I'm prepared. And also, I've moved 8 times in the last decade. And let me tell you, I'm not fully fixed. I definitely have an unused sticker pack that has made it from 18 to 29. I do not know how. But also, there's not a hard and fast rule, in my opinion, not to go off on too long of a tangent, but I do believe there's room to hold on to things if you still do want them. But I think you have to learn to be quiet, really listen to yourself, and learn that you can be without certain items. And it took me 25 years to learn the beauty of space, breathing room, airflow, clean energy. Your home should feel calm and inspiring, not crowded and stuffed. And that's a matter of a mindset shift, not a matter of willpower. So I was re-inspired to do this by 2 things. One, inevitable spring cleaning. I've gotten really addicted to discarding items, keeping my space as tidy as possible. It feels good to be tidy. But also, a YouTuber I love, Dara, she makes the most beautiful decluttering content and has recently, I'm talking 4 videos in the past 3 days, been sharing her decluttering tips. And she does it through the lens of feng shui, and also, as to my point earlier, amplifies how emotional of an experience this can be. For example, stuffing your house. If you just have piles and piles of items, you very well could be stuffing yourself with a ton of food, and it's this numbing because you feel like there's nowhere to go, and there's a lot of freedom that you could feel if you just empty out your space and give your items room to breathe. Additionally, she makes this great sentiment that when you take care of your home, you know that yourself is taken care of when you leave. For example, if you wake up in the morning and you just have things everywhere and you sort of have to pass through them and you can't really find the clothes you want to wear or the food you want to eat, and you just sort of get through your house in a scramble and you feel a little off wearing the outfit that you didn't even want to wear, that you don't even like, but you just feel obligated to keep, and then you get out and you feel off. You know who experiences the off? Everyone else. We're all experiencing your off feeling because you weren't able to take care of yourself. So we all benefit when we take care of our home. And I love that. So I will link her video and her channel in the description. And I want to get into some of my favorite tips to make it a little bit easier, because the big dogs are the closet and the sentimental items and maybe products for you, you know, beauty products, makeup, things like that. So let's start off neutral. Go into your fridge. Anything that's expired, toss it. You know what? It sucks that you wasted food. You just have to get over it, because I will also do this with, for example, I have these protein bars that sat in the back of my pantry for months because I had bought the wrong ones. I did not like these ones. I never wanted to eat them, but it felt so wrong to get rid of a pack of, I don't know, 10, 15 bars because they had protein and nutritional value and they were purchased and they existed and I didn't want to contribute to more waste. Sometimes you have to take the L. It's not benefiting you to hold on to items due to guilt. And that gets into your subconscious. You look into your pantry and every time I would catch those purple boxes of protein bars, I would think, ugh, those, you know? Even though it was only for a split second, it left an impact. So get rid of that. Get into your fridge, get into your pantry, expired things, things that you bought that you didn't like. That's okay. It happens. The Tupperware. Go into your container or drawer or cabinet of Tupperware. If I'm thinking about mine right now, I have favorites, ones that when I have leftovers, I'm so glad to put my food into. It makes me excited to put the food in there and also to reheat the food in those containers. There's other Tupperware containers I have no interest in. I am grossed out if I end up having to use those. But the truth is, I have enough of the ones that I like that I don't need to keep the others. So you know what? Get rid of it. Hard and fast rule. Is it gross? Actually gross. Is it moldy, sticky, stained, not in good shape? Let that be a firm boundary. Start there. If it's gross, expired, old, toss it. You can do that. That won't take much emotional energy. You can do that. The next one is when you start feeling the emotions. If you've ever read The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up, you'll know the infamous question, does it spark joy? That was one of the cornerstones of her thesis of that book was, when holding up an item, does it spark joy? And there's a lot of merit to that, and try that. But also, there are some items that give me a pit in my stomach. Does it hurt you to look at? There are certain clothing items, for example, the dress that I wore to my mother's funeral. Great dress, looks great on my body, can't stomach myself to wear it. Let it go. I had to let it go. And you know what? Putting it in the pile of donation felt so good to say, I don't need to see this in my closet anymore. It was a great dress. It served its purpose. It's okay. It no longer has to be mine. I also get a pit in my stomach when I look at something that's expensive that I never wear, or something that I requested from a brand and I feel really guilty. I'm like, you know what? They sent it to me. It's really nice. It just doesn't fit right. But, you know, eventually maybe it will. Maybe it won't. Like those things that you have a visceral reaction when seeing, get rid of it. It could be, I'm looking around my room right now to give an example. Sometimes they're gifts for people where you feel obliged to keep it. You're like, but someone gave this to me. That's okay. If someone knew that something that they gave you was causing you stress, more than likely they would rather you not have it. And if they would like you to keep it, knowing it makes you stressed, then you need to reevaluate that relationship. Either way, part with it. Number three, this is my controversial take. Just because it hasn't been used in years does not mean it has to go. I do not subscribe to the hard and fast rule that if you haven't used it, if it doesn't fit, that you should toss it. I still have it. Some of these examples I've said in present tense and they're past experiences, but this, I have this amazing vintage Dior white denim mini skirt with red accents and it fit sort of. And then I got a little chunkier, didn't fit as much. I've trimmed out, slimmed out, it fits again. I am so glad that I did not get rid of it. I am so, so, so glad. Because it's a perfect skirt. It's perfect. And there's plenty of items that if they don't fit, toss it. But I loved that skirt so much. And I don't know how I knew in the back of my mind. I was like, this is going to be worn. I know it. I feel it in my bones. So I held on to it. And I'm so glad that I did. But my body ebbs and flows. So there are some things that if I like it enough, I will keep it. But there's also things, for example, some really big jeans, you know, some oversized stuff that I would wear to give me comfort if I didn't feel confident in my body. And those I had to let go because ultimately I was wearing them out of fear and it was an illusion of comfort. And for that, they had to go because they gave me the pit in my stomach. They hurt my stomach to look at them. Now, the second part to this is items that you haven't worn. There are so many pieces in my wardrobe And this is also personal to me, but I think a lot of you are like this. My wardrobe is a collection. My wardrobe is very important to me. I do have items in my wardrobe that are from my childhood. Some are from middle school. Some are from high school. Some are from my 20s. And I'm sure in my 30s, I will continue to do this. There are certain things that A, have held the test of time and they're just good pieces. Randomly, my Under Armour has lasted for over a decade. It's just high quality and it still works. So there's no reason to get rid of that. Even if I only ever really use it when I'm going skiing, that's still okay. I keep it because it serves its purpose. And then I have accessories. There's this almost Hannah Montana-like scarf that I got. I must have been nine or 10. I've kept it similar to the sticker pack. It has made it through every move. And I just knew eventually I would want to wear it again. Was there probably a 6-year period where I wasn't wearing it? Absolutely. But am I wearing it now? Did I wear it over the weekend? Yes. And that's because styles do come around. And I say this with a grain of salt because I don't want to add fuel to the fire if you're already someone who likes to keep things. To just be like, you know what? It doesn't fit. Keep it. You haven't worn it in years. Keep it. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that keep things you like that do not make you feel bad. If there's something that doesn't fit that makes you feel bad about yourself, get rid of it. But this was a particular piece. And that scarf, I'm like, I don't know, I still like it. I know it's not trendy at the moment, but I still like it and I know that it's gonna come back. So that's why I said it's not a hard and fast rule. And I did wanna give that antidote because that always would frustrate me. I had my friend come over and help me clean my closet last year. And she's like, I never see you wear that. And I'm like, I know that I didn't wear it this year, but I might wear it next year. And she's like, that's ridiculous. Get rid of it. Guess what I'm doing? I'm wearing it this year. So you have to at least know yourself in that capacity. Number 4, it's okay to get rid of something you wear a lot. Once again, when hearing the advice, if you haven't worn it in over 6 months, get rid of it. I'd be like, okay, well, I wear this thing a lot, so I should keep it. I have a lot of things I wear a lot that I don't actually like. They're just convenient. It's like the black tank top that I'm always wearing when I need a black tank top. It's in horrible shape. I don't actually like it. Or I have this loose fitting dress that's so great to wear on kind of a hot day. I actually don't really like the dress, but I don't have another one that works. And this is where I think Dara also said this in her video. She said, if you have a piece that gives you, we'll say, and for lack of a better terms, it doesn't spark joy, you don't like it, it gives you bad feelings, or even you're wearing it, but it's not, you don't have a pep in your step when you're wearing it. It's better to go without it than to hold on to it. And she was using this with an example of a dining room table. She said that she's selling her house and she's gonna take her dining room table with her because she's made so many art pieces on that table and there's so many good memories. But if she had had a ton of bad ones and it didn't bring her joy, she would rather go without a table and let that space be empty than have a piece that doesn't make her happy in her home because her home is so sacred. And to further that point, oftentimes when we do that, the universe listens and miraculously your friend is suddenly getting rid of her table. You take a ride home and you see this beautiful table on the sidewalk ready for you, and it just sort of works that way. So just because you wear it a lot does not mean you need to keep it. I got rid of plenty of go-to items that I was wearing that I had to just think, I don't actually like this. Number 5, and alternatively, it's okay to get rid of something that didn't get the chapter it deserved. You bought it for a special occasion. You spent a lot of money on it. It just never got what it deserved. And you're holding on to it because you bought it. Someone gave it to you. You acquired it somehow and it's valuable, sentimental, whatever, but it really never got used. Or same thing, it's just a practical piece. You got a workout set and you're just not wearing it. That's okay. Let someone else get the chapter that you hoped for. Let someone else give it a go. Do not hold on to it. You're holding on to it out of guilt, and that is not a good enough reason to have an item. Because as I said with the protein bars, subconsciously, you're internalizing that. You're like, fuck that. You know, you see that shirt, you're like, oh, I just thought it would look so cute with a white button down and jeans because I saw this girl in a white button down and jeans and she looks so classic, but it just doesn't look like that on me the way that it looked on her. And I have this stupid white shirt and like maybe one day I will make it work. No, just get rid of it. Just give it away or sell it. We can get into that, how to discard the items later, but let's keep it moving. Number 6, this is a point I really wanted to make. That the high of letting go is arguably equal to the high of purchasing something. I was learning this with something similar recently. The high of making money is equal to me as the high of spending money. You know that little dopamine hit you get when you buy something? I get that same dopamine hit when a check enters my bank account, or if I sell something and I make some money. Every spring, I do my little decluttering because, as I said, I've gotten a lot better at this, okay? This has been a practice, and I get better and better every single year, and started decluttering this season. Had someone from The RealReal come take some items that felt pretty good, and then items that didn't go to The RealReal that were still in good shape, I took them to Wasteland over the weekend. Got some pretty decent money for it, was pretty addicted to that. That was exciting. So then I was so excited and addicted to it that I said, let's run it back. Let's go back into my closet. I know there's more things that I don't want. Went back, made $200 more than I did the first time yesterday. And now I have over $1,000 that I can put into my bank account to use on anything else. And now some of my clothes have more breathing room. Do you know how nice it is to go into a closet where all the hangers aren't stuck together? It's incredible. Like, your items deserve breathing room. They do. Your items should be loved. You should look at them and be like, oh, love those, love those, love those, love those. You know, when you're trying to put your leftovers into a Tupperware container, you should think, oh, this is so cute. Can't wait to reheat it. You don't want to put it into a container that you're like, this is so disgusting. I'm repulsed at the idea of having to touch this again. That's not it. You deserve better. So do better. You can do it. Now, here is how I declutter. Start with neutral things. As said, the fridge, the pantry, the kitchen cabinets, start there. And then you can move on to maybe living room things. You know, you're going to find a lot of garbage, random things. It sort of sucks, like a trophy you won at a game night. You're like, I ultimately don't need to keep this. I can just give this one away. Light the candles. I don't know. I went through this period of time where I was buying candles in bulk and then what? Keeping them in a cabinet to never light. So I started lighting those. It's good to remember what you have. That's also a thing. My goal is not to recommend you to have as little as possible. I want you to know what you have, know where it is, and like it. And to bring back to Dara's whole concept behind her feng shui system is for your home to be clean, clear, and bright. And I love that she gave an example of, this is a little bit tangential to decluttering, but just space in general. Her bedroom walls are red and she loved the red. It was like a deep, rich color. I guess it had a little gray in it or something, and she always kind of didn't like that. But after her mom passed, her room started to remind her of it, and the red almost felt like it had those feelings of her mother in it, and it was unpleasant. So she just repainted it. And it's so nice to remind yourself you can do things like that. For example, I had this lamp that I thought was so cool. It was my nightstand lamp and I really enjoyed it. And then, I don't know, something flipped, a switch, no pun intended, absolutely pun intended. And I didn't like it anymore. So now I have two new nightstand lamps. I have joy looking at them. I used to get so frustrated and stressed subconsciously or really quietly, like quick thoughts when I would see that lamp. And I'm so glad to part with it. It's so nice to get rid of something. And I'm really liking this idea of, it's almost better to have the empty space than to keep the thing that you don't like. And so that feels like a graduate step. But I do want you to start neutrally, and then you can go to your products. Tyra and I, my roommate, she feels a lot more sentimental about her beauty products for some reason. I feel similar to my beauty products and skincare the way that I do about food. I'm like, it's probably expired. Let's toss it. It also feels good to give it to friends. You know, have your friends come over, look through your makeup. I mean, if it's not like completely used, but in pretty good shape. We give a lot of our stuff to the housekeepers. I mean, you'd be surprised that people want your shit. Alternatively, I have sold clothes at Crossroads and what's the other one? Buffalo Exchange. You know, the whole sentiment, someone's trash is someone else's treasure. It feels like you're bringing your treasure and they're looking at it like trash. You know, you're taking your clothes that you spent good money on, or they're from good stores, or they're from good brands, or maybe they're in good condition, or you had fun memories in them. And they're touching them like they're the most disgusting thing, and they're just putting them in a pile, and they're like, sorry, not today. It's a humiliating experience. Thankfully, I didn't have that at Wasteland, but I, at this point, would rather sell to The Real Real and Wasteland and they don't take it there, I'm just going to donate it to Goodwill. Like, I don't have the patience anymore for Depop or Poshmark, if that's your vibe. But also, I feel like that's almost a cop-out where you're like, oh, that's, you know, that's my Poshmark pile. I'll get there. And that almost feels, if you're getting to the point where you have too much clutter, like maybe it's just better to let it go. You know, don't give yourself an extra chore. Know yourself. If you're not the type that's going to do it, just discard of it. It's sometimes nicer. I did do that a lot last year because I used to have the patience to sell. There was probably last year and the year before. It's like, I would rather not make the money. Like, I would rather just save myself the time, let someone else have these belongings, drop it off at whatever your favorite thrift store, Goodwill, Salvation Army, church, op shop, whatever it is, you choose. But get rid of it. Get it out of your space and let your items breathe. Ultimately, decluttering when you're sentimental does not mean trying to become a minimalist. It's just trusting yourself to know what still serves you and what's holding you back. It's not about being ruthless and being demanding on yourself. It's about respecting yourself and your space and your energy and your future self. So I've also asked on Instagram for questions regarding decluttering, so we'll get into those. My Instagram handle is Lexi, L-E-X-I-E, but first a word from today's sponsors. Unless you're on Patreon and you get this episode extended and ad-free. One of my goals this year was to outsource more, whether that be working with an editor or working with a house cleaner. And I've recently learned about HomeAglow. The cleaners pass a rigorous certification process, and it's a fantastic way to support cleaners in your community because 100% of the cleaning fees and tips go directly to your cleaner. So to schedule a cleaning, you simply go to HomeAglow's website, choose your day and time that you're looking for and the duration of the cleaning, and they'll match you with a cleaner. Schedule as quickly as this week or get something on the calendar for next month so you can check it off your to-do list early. You can see photos and reviews of background check cleaners before booking the right cleaner for you. And the best part is their Forever Clean membership, which saves you $30 an hour on all future cleanings. So you can book unlimited cleaning starting at $19 an hour, backed by the HomeAglow's happiness guarantee. So take some home cleaning off your plate this spring using HomeAglow. Head to homeaglow.com/Lexi to get your first 3 hours of cleaning for only $19. That's HomeAglow.com/Lexi. Oh, guys, I'm really excited for this sponsor of the show. It's Washington Red Raspberries. It's easy to feel disconnected from where our food comes from these days. You're getting an ingredient at the store and you don't know if it's from your neighborhood, if it's from a different state, if it's from a different country. I have recently learned that 90% of American-grown frozen red raspberries come from a community of farmers in Washington state. They're grown by multi-generational family farmers who take pride in every berry. I have a bag in my freezer right now and I've been adding them on top of my yogurt with my pumpkin seeds, and they're just fresh and they're juicy and they're full of flavor. And when they start to defrost a little bit and get jammed, they're delicious. They're grown in nutrient-rich soil, and then they're frozen at peak ripeness. So then when you get them, they're peak ripe. They're also featured in popular products like Smucker's Uncrustables with the red raspberry filling, as well as Smucker's Raspberry Jam. You can find frozen Washington red raspberries in the frozen fruit section of most major grocery stores like Kroger, Winco. Check the label for American-grown frozen raspberries. Look for product of the U.S. on the back. If you want to learn more about the farmers behind these incredible berries and more details on where you can buy them, visit redraz.org. That's redraz.org. And you'll find farmers' stories, recipes, and retailers who carry these delicious berries and all the reasons to choose red raspberries grown right here in the U.S. Have you ever had one of those days where everything just feels harder than usual and you can't quite figure out why? Recently, I've learned that sometimes it's not just stress or lack of sleep. It could be my hormones at play. And I know firsthand how much stress can mess with hormones. Between work and life and travel, it's easy to feel a little out of balance, and I know I'm not the only one. That's where Happy Mammoth comes in. They offer a free 2-minute quiz that can help you uncover the root cause of your hormonal symptoms. Just answer a few questions about what you're going through and where you're at in life. After taking the quiz, you'll get a personalized recommendation
foundation to help balance your hormones. Hormone Harmony is an herbal formula that fine-tunes the hormonal system, helps with bloating, chronic fatigue, weight gain, mood swings, more. So it doesn't just help with estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone. It also helps with the stress hormones such as cortisol. Small habits like taking Hormone Harmony every day can have a huge impact on how we feel. Are you ready to start feeling like yourself again? Head over to happymammoth.com and take their free 2-minute hormone quiz today and find the ultimate answer to your stubborn hormonal issues. For a limited time, you can also get 15% off your entire first order with my code Lexi. That's happymammoth.com and use the code Lexi for 15% off today.
Give me all your decluttering questions. Let's start from the bottom. Naomi asked, where and how do I start? I'm going to reiterate this for the third time. Start somewhere neutrally. That might not be the pantry or the kitchen cabinets for you. Maybe it's your desk. Maybe it's under your bed. Maybe it's your laundry area. You know, start with something that is a lot more practical and less emotional and work your way up. I swear it builds up your confidence. You get the momentum. You get the ball rolling. Play this episode while you're doing it. Play one of Dara's videos while you're doing it. It gets you in the mindset and you also get excited about the future. You know, like as you're getting rid of stuff, it stops becoming sad of, oh no, this was such a nice piece or such a nice time, which I don't think I mentioned this in the earlier part of the episode, but I've gotten better at looking at an item. For example, a lot of times they're jackets for me. You know, like I love a good jacket. And oftentimes you wear a jacket most days for a season, you know, like that's kind of your winter coat, whatever. But then eventually you find a new one and you get it and then you keep the old coat too. The old coat, it had its season, the proverbial season, but also the literal season. And let someone else have a go at it. Give yourself the space. If you're not reaching for it and it got the love that it deserved, give it away. Love it, leave it alone. Love it and leave it. Tati said, how can I declutter my camera roll when I get too nostalgic and attached to every picture? Funny enough, I really am not a very nostalgic person and I don't go back and look at my photos, but my God, am I a photo hoarder? I am. This is a project I save while I'm on transportation. The train, the plane, the bus, a long road trip. That's when I decide to go through and you know what? I start getting rid of duplicates. Another one to get rid of, go into the folder on your phone of selfies. I'm humiliated when I look at myself. So I'm like, girl, you were 20 and looking weird. Let's keep one. We have so much photographic evidence of ourselves and we don't need all that. I also have some photos that I have like 90 variations of. I go through and I keep two, you know? If I'm not trying to post it, it's not a recent shoot that I'm trying to go through. I also feel like we have clear eyes when we're looking. Like if I were to take photos today and let's say my friend took 50 photos of me in various poses, I might not have the same objective or I would have a much less objective perspective now than I would looking at this photo set years from now. So just look, scroll through your camera roll, find an area where there's a big chunk of photos that are all in the same area, start narrowing those ones down. That's what I would do. But if it makes you feel any better, I have, let's see, how do I even show? I have 168,000 photos. I have 30 less than 169,000 photos, if that makes you feel any better. I have 6,000 videos and I have 14,000 selfies. Yeah, so I need to do that. But I always do that on the plane. Gabrielle asked how to stay decluttered once you have decluttered. This is less about discarding and more about finding a home for your item. It's good to have a place for things. I recently reorganized all of my makeup and it's so logical. Before, I had so much of it and it was nonsense. I also gave myself containers to put on the top shelves of my closet for backups because sometimes I would have an extra sunscreen or an extra toothpaste or extra toothbrushes. And I would keep them all in the same section. It's so nice to be like, okay, and here is your backup drawer. And obviously, because I have a lot of things, I have a backup drawer for body products, for makeup products, etc. When there's a place, it's like, okay, the concealers go here, the lip glosses go here, the eyeliner goes here, the makeup brushes go here. It's easy to put it back into place. So that's more about systems. So decluttering is about shrinking the amount of items that you have, getting rid of the clutter, and then organizing and staying tidy is the second step. Decluttering is step one. You want to discard of any items that you no longer want, that are no longer going to benefit your home, yourself, and your future self. Step two is creating a system to store the belongings that you do want to keep. So I honestly feel like that's an entirely different episode, if I'm being perfectly honest, because decluttering is already so emotional. Another thing I would do is have a friend join you in this process. It's nice to have eyes that are not as attached as you are to your items, to be like, that's not even that cute. Trying something on and they're like, yeah, you know, you want to keep the things that you're excited about, a color that looks good on you, a shape that looks good on you, something that excites you. I will link the organizers that I have used and that I'm using right now in, I guess they're all from Amazon. So maybe I make an Amazon storefront. I'll figure it out. But I will have a link for them in the description, and I will put photos of all of my various systems or a little video of it on my Patreon. And I think that that could be a good, helpful visual. Francesca said the magazine saga. Why don't I remember the magazine saga? OMG, remind me what this is. Hopefully she'll respond before I finish the episode. Oh, I like this question. Rachel asks, how do you distinguish between clutter and treasure? Clutter feels like, ugh, I guess I should have this. Or like, ugh, I don't know what to do with it. Ugh, I don't know where to put it. Clutter kind of begins with like a annoyance, the ugh. Whereas treasure, you would never look at it and be like, ugh, that. You'd be like, ugh, this. It's different. That's philosophy, what you just listened to. Am I right? That was really, really profound, huh? But I do think it made sense. Clutter is stuff that you feel obligated to keep. Stuff that you would feel a little guilty to get rid of. That's clutter. If you feel any sort of guilt, shame, sadness, any sort of negative feeling, more than likely, that's not treasure. Treasure wouldn't make you feel anything like that. Treasure would make you smile. It would make you giddy. It would make you happy to have. Samantha asked, what do I do with the clothes that I've never worn but I might wear on a special occasion? This is the reason I don't have that hard and fast rule. So I'm not able to answer this for you. I think you need to be honest with yourself. If you think there is going to be a time, because my mom and I always followed the philosophy, if you love the dress, the occasion will find you. So if it's a dress that looks stellar on you, you know, you're out shopping and it fits like a glove and you just look like a diamond in it, keep it. The occasion will find you. Now, if it's a dress that you acquired or bought sort of on an impulse, it doesn't truly mean too much to you, but you're like, I never really wore it, so I guess like I might, you know, or I wore it this one time, maybe I'll wear it again, could serve a purpose, I would say discard of it. Oh, I don't think I fully understand this question. Mary Rose asked, how to settle on a style when decluttering your wardrobe? The inspo phase of decluttering. I'm going to Google the inspo. The inspo phase of decluttering refers to the stage where you gather inspiration and motivation to start decluttering, potentially through visual aids like Pinterest or magazines. It involves finding a vision of your decluttered space. I think that that's unnecessary. I don't think you need an inspiration phase for decluttering. I think you just need to start. That feels like a strange form of procrastination. I feel like content creators will do this. They'll procrastinate under the pretense of, I'm inspo scrolling. I'm trying to find content. Anytime I've ever saved something on Pinterest, 9.9 times out of 10, I'm not looking back when I actually need to declutter. What you need to do is go into your closet, go under your bed, go into your nightstand drawers, go into that junk drawer and just start, okay? Because I don't think you need to redo everything. I think you need to hire an organizer for these baby steps. All we're trying to do is lessen the load. We're trying to get rid of those Tupperware containers that are gross. We're trying to get rid of that dress that you feel guilty for having, that book that you keep because your friend gave it to you and said it was her favorite book, even though you know you're never gonna read it. It's that stuff. I say just start. Don't waste your time on the inspo phase. Latino Snoopy asked, why do I hold on to so much stuff? There are so many different reasons that we hold on to things. We hold on to things out of sentimental reasons. You know, it's like a physical reminder of existence. You know, I held on to certain boys' clothing. Like, oh, this hot guy from track in high school gave me his shirt one time And I've held on to it for years because I need the evidence that the hot boy from track gave me his shirt. I need evidence that I have ex-boyfriend's boxers, like to show that I had an ex-boyfriend. And it's strange validation that you need to grow out of. But I wasn't ready at that point. And then it gets to the point of like, what am I doing? But it's a slow process, you know? It's they're growing pains. You go from being born and having nothing to your name. It's just whatever your parents have provided you with. And then slowly but surely you start developing your own sense of autonomy and acquiring belongings that exist to you that were just for you and they weren't anyone else's. And I became attached to that, and I think a lot of us do. And so it either holds moments of memory, validation, existence to show this friend and I did have a strong relationship. Like I was friends with this person. And I did this a lot when my mom passed of, I can't get rid of my mom's sweater. Like I have to have this memory of her. I can't get rid of this card from my mom. I can't get rid of this magnet from my mom, even though it's broken. I can't get rid of her bathrobe. And then it took a point where I realized I'm not going to forget her. You know, it's not going to take a sweater of hers that I will never wear and will keep in a drawer for her to know that I loved her and for me to know that I loved her. I'm going to remember her when I eat ice cream and cough because she did the same thing. I'm going to see my smile in certain photos and be like, that's from my mom. I'm not going to forget her. And that's another reason I was holding on to things. Like, once again, this sentimental, this emotional tie. You hold on to things because of guilt. I think a lot of us have environmental guilt that our carbon footprint is already so bad and we're so wasteful and we've ordered so many things online that if we're going to buy something, it's so rude of us to just trash the earth like that. It's like, take the L and do better next time. But you holding on to something out of guilt is not helping anyone. No one. No one. We hold on to things for a lot of reasons, and a lot of them are based in self-worth. And when it's time to grow up and to level up, and we want to be, in the words of Dara, clean, clear, and bright, we can finally part with these things. And as I said, it gets addictive, it gets exciting, and it gets fun. You get that first bag of trash. Like, oh, that's the best one. When there's no chore involved, you don't have to drop it off anywhere. You just get to take the trash bag and you throw it in the dumpster. And realizing that you just got a physical bag of junk out of your house, you're like, oh, I feel so much lighter. It feels so good. Let's do it again. There's more I want to get rid of. And then you start saying like, oh, well, these things are like stained or they're not in good shape, whatever. These can be donated. You do that. And then you have your small items of, or maybe, I don't know what kind of items you have. You have the real, real girl come and you sell your stuff and she leaves with those bags and you just feel lighter and lighter and lighter. Oh, it's amazing. It's amazing. I cannot recommend it enough. Like, I really think that if you haven't done this in a while or you just need a little kickstart, do this. It feels so good. And you can do this anytime. I always feel like springtime is a nice time, but it's always the change of the seasons that you're like, all right, let's get ourselves ready for this new chapter. I feel particularly ready for a new chapter. There's been a shift recently inside me where I just don't feel attached the way that I used to. But I have no judgment on people for feeling attached because I was like that for so long. The Frolicsome Fairy asked, how often do you declutter your closet? Truthfully, I have to do a scan every month or so, but that's because of the blessing and privilege of getting PR. The amount of mail that Tyra and I get, we do need to clear things out, which is crazy because you would think that I would know what's incoming, but sometimes I'm just on a PR list for an agency and then packages just roll up and you're like, oh, okay, now I have to find something to do with this. But I would say, had that not been the case, seasonally. But if you're feeling an urge and you've already done it recently, do it again. As I said, cleaned out my closet Saturday, felt so good about it that I did it again yesterday. And I just keep doing more and more and more. Like, the ball starts rolling, the momentum starts going. But don't put any intensity on yourself. Like, just start with a little and then you might end up doing a lot. Let's see if that girl answered. Frankly, I'm gone. Asked, how to declutter when you live with your family and you have to keep everything in your bedroom. I relate to this. My parents did not like belongings of mine in the communal areas. I wasn't able to just like keep my purses or my shoes in the kitchen. Like, I had to keep it all in my room just because my dad was a military kid. you know, I think things had to be in ship shape because my grandpa was in the Navy. And then my mom was just very organized and really wasn't sentimental with her items. She was so like, get rid of it. Like, which I think also helps with whenever I'm feeling hesitant about getting rid of something that's hers. I can just hear her voice being like, get rid of it, Lexi. Go get something you want. She also was such a shopper. And Tyra, my roommate, is this way too, where when LA was on fire, Tyra was in New York. And I had to have the call with her, like, if push comes to shove, what do you want me to grab? And she's like, my social security card. I was like, any clothes, any books, any photos, any journals? And she's like, no. I was like, no, but you love things. And she's like, exactly. So I can always find more. I was like, well, aren't you cute? That's so sweet. I'm like, get my Prada kitten heels, get my journals, get my laptop. I don't know, get my phone. Those are pretty basic. It was always get the Prada kitten heels. And you want to hear the most ironic thing of the whole world? Guess what the only pair of shoes I have missing right now is? My Prada kitten heels. I've checked everywhere, high and low. Cannot find them. It's quite infuriating. And they're vintage. So I can't just find another pair. It's really horrible. And I've tried looking online. And they were my favorite shoes. And I knew they were my favorites when I had them. While I have them, maybe I still have them. I don't know. Nothing more upsetting than seeing a photo of yourself and you're like, where did that shirt go? What the heck? That happened to me with my favorite navy shorts. Thankfully, those were just Brandy Melville, so I could just quickly get a new pair. But these vintage Prada kitten heels? Anyway, this is not answering your question. I would say if you have to keep everything in your bedroom, you might have to have a lot of shelving in your bedroom. You know, you might have to get some vertical shoe shelves. You might have to use hooks on the back of your door. You might have to, if you have some sentimental things, this is a new project I'm going to do. So I have sort of a memory box, and a friend of mine I saw got her memory things that I would have had in a memory box framed. And I thought, what a fun little Sunday afternoon project, or like a weekend project, to lay out different plane tickets, photo booth photos, cards, whatever it is, and lay them out in a frame. And then display them on the wall. And if they're not cute enough to display, of course, there's things that are private and you don't want to display them on the wall. But if they're not super personal and they're not cute, then maybe get rid of them. And that could also be an indicator. But that would be another way to save some space under the bed storage. But I think even beyond that, everyone can benefit from just doing a little clean out. You know, just doing a little check in the drawers to even check what you have. It's so nice when cords, a lot of us have a lot of cords, to set out and be like, you know what? I actually don't think I need 9 iPhone chargers. I think 3 is probably enough. The one that I use, maybe 1 for the car, 1 in case I lose it, you know? Even 3 could maybe be more than you need. So it's nice to lay it all out. I am ashamed to say this. I learned recently that I had 65 pairs of shoes. I had 65 pairs of shoes. Now, shoes and handbags are part of my collection. They're things I collect, but 65 is a lot. That's an exorbitant amount of shoes. Yeah. So similarly, with like, if it doesn't fit, if the shoes aren't comfortable, you know, you got these gorgeous pair of heels, or maybe they're not even gorgeous. You just got a pair of heels. You're not wearing them because they're not comfortable. Let someone else who doesn't care about comfort have those heels. Just give them away. Stop holding on to it. Give yourself space for things that you love to exist and breathe. Next question is from Morgan Lombard. Who's your best family member at doing this? Morgan Lombard. Morgan and my mom, both Geminis. I don't know if this is a Gemini thing, but they are just organized, tidy, get rid of it, you know? They're also, like, Morgan's good at this, but also Morgan doesn't care about style the way that I care. Like, I don't think she has her version of the vintage Prada kitten heels. She's like, I have my sneakers, I have my flip-flops, I have, like, she's just very practical in that sense. She doesn't really care about the beauty and the sparkle of it all. Ironically, though, she really wanted for her birthday glitter in her birthday box. And she's like, can I have one of those birthday boxes where you open it up and confetti goes everywhere and glitter flies out? I was like, no. Not to be, I was just like, I was just being a bitch because she's like a sister to me. And I was like, what the fuck? No. So did I ultimately in a little purse in her birthday box was like, okay, check the pocket of this purse. And there was a little thing of glitter. But most 9 times out of 10, very practical. So she is who I call. I'm like, I got to go through the closet. And now that I'm in California and she's still on the East Coast, we'll FaceTime. For Tyra, she's very stylish. So if I'm debating on keeping something purely based in aesthetic, I'll walk into her room. I'm like, yes or no. John is also good at this. I mean, any of your friends. But to answer Morgan's question, she's the best out of the family. I think my dad is actually a lot more sentimental. He wants to be able to keep his things. He doesn't want to have to touch his things. But he's like, you can't have your things. Mm-mm. You got to get rid of this. But I'm like, can you get rid of this? He's like, well, no, I need to keep that. I'm so curious what that girl is referring to with the magazines. The magazine saga dot dot. Let me think. Did I hold on to a lot of magazines? I mean, I had a lot of magazines back in Virginia, but I don't know if I've ever spoken about that. Similarly, I had hundreds. They were all in this chest of like 17 magazines. I kept every single one because I was like, these are archival. But the thing is, it was also clutter. Yes, there are archival, but similarly to a lot of other things, if push comes to shove, I could get another one. If I feel like looking at a 2007 17 magazine, I could go on eBay and buy it. There's another hoarder out there that's going to have it. I do not need to keep hundreds and hundreds of Teen Vogue and Tiger Beat and M and 17 and Cosmo magazine. I had so many magazine subscriptions. Jesus. But I still don't think that's the magazine saga because it wouldn't have been a saga. I can't end you on that. I have to end you on another note. Let's find a nice finishing question. Okay, a lot of them are regarding sentimental, like parents. A lot of you guys have lost your parents. And you're like, I don't know how to get rid of it. They understand. They do not need you to keep every piece of clothing they've ever had, every purse they ever had. Keep a thing or two for sure, you know? Keep your dad's watch. Keep your dad's wallet. Keep your mom's whatever it is. Like, but you don't need everything. You can have something, but you don't need everything. And I know it's hard, but as I said, I thought that if I didn't keep my mom's sweaters, that I was going to forget her. But every time I eat ice cream and cough, she's right there. There are things so beyond the material realm, you're not going to forget them. And they don't need you to hold on to all of these things. You're holding on to it because you don't want to forget them. You don't want to lose them. You want them to know you still care and you always will. But you don't need to do it by holding on to physical items. Free yourself. Let yourself free. And then the last question I'll answer is sort of a two-part question from Josie. My brain likes to plan, but my ADHD can't initiate. How and where do you begin and not get overwhelmed? What techniques do you decide to keep, donate, delete? In so many ways, I've answered this, but ADHD can get a lot. It can get overwhelming. So do a little bit at a time, you know, one cabinet, one drawer. Give yourself just 20 minutes to do it and then put things away. You don't need to take out every item that you've ever owned and put it on the floor and evaluate it. That's a disaster. Maybe you can do it, but then odds are you're going to get burnt out halfway and just be like, I can't do this, and just shove everything under the bed, in the desk drawers, in the nightstand, whatever. Just do it one drawer at a time. And you know what? If you start getting tired, you can just take the items you got rid of, toss those and put the rest in the drawer, and you can visit it at another time. But I like, for example, I'm really referencing Tara's video. So she has a home do's and don'ts, and that video is like almost 40 minutes long, and that felt like the perfect amount of time to clutter. And I just did it. It's probably like 8 p.m. on Tuesday. Did a quick little closet clean out, made my piles the next afternoon, took them to the store and to the donation, and it felt so nice. So honestly, like 40 minutes, you don't need to do it all in one weekend. Just get into the practice of doing it. I mean, but as I said, it gets exciting and it gets fun, and then you don't want to stop. So I would just start small, but see where it takes you. Give yourself 20 to 40 minutes, set a timer, place something alongside of it. I hope this encourages you guys to give a second look to what you have, you know, to really think about why you have it. And also, your items that you have deserve to have dignity. You know, if you spent your money on a beautiful camera, like, let her sit out. You know, if you spent beautiful money on a beautiful candle, light it. You know, stop saving things for other times and just let your existence, yourself right now, live in a beautiful space. You deserve it. It's nice and it really helps with your mental health. It really does. And it leaves room for you to think about things that you actually want because you don't realize how distracting clutter can actually be. For example, the old me that was like, well, I have to keep everything because when there's going to be a documentary about me when I die and they find me, because I don't know, in my head, I was like, I'm going to die young and they're going to need to figure out who I was and how deep and profound and fun and cool I was. So they need to have everything. But now I'm thinking from that not from that specific perspective, but in that same vein, if there was to be a documentary on my life and they were to go through my items, like, you know me as an antidote, if you listen to my podcast, you know I think about death a lot. I have no intention on dying anytime soon, but because I've lost so many family members, I think about death all the time. So let's say I did die and people are walking into my room, you know, to see what was up, like, how would I want them to see it? You know, if I brought someone home, how would I want them to see it? How nice would it be if your home was perpetually ready for guests? You know, everything that was out was such a good, honest representation of yourself. Everything was like, there was no gross, nasty, unnecessary clutter. Think of if someone was looking through your closet, what would you want them to see? What really represents you? Anyway, I have a lot of additional things I'm thinking of just about the sentimentality. Is that the word? Of it all, and just additional coping mechanisms for your keepsakes and how that all goes down. So what I'll do is I'll have that as the extended part for Patreon. If you're interested in more gritty details of less common ways to declutter and also additional things to think about while doing it, I will have that link down below. Everyone else, I hope that you start cleaning your stuff out. You deserve it. You deserve to feel light and airy and confident and have freedom to think and exist. So on that note, I will talk to you guys later. XOXO, Lexi.